Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
There's been one demand, and that's holding up that Lombardi trophy, period. That's all I care about, is holding that trophy up and holding that trophy up here.
The prime thing is you have to win. You have to win. Otherwise, you can't be a success in professional football.
You're listening to the State of the Nation with Jimmy Durkin, Vic Tafer, Tashawn Reed, and Ted Nguyen on the Athletic Podcast Network.
What's up, everybody? Welcome back to a post-game edition of State of the Nation here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I am Jimmy Durkin, joined by Vic Tafer and Tashawn Reed. Ted has jumped off the bandwagon for a night. He is down in L.A. at the Chiefs Chargers Sunday night game. He's missing a victorious post-game show, an overtime winner, 22-16. A game that it looked like it was going to be a story of more frustration, but luckily Russell Wilson and the Broncos decided to throw the ball away on third down, and the Raiders took advantage, and you got to give them credit for that. A win that, I mean, it's not going to change their season or anything to put them at 3-7, but just in terms of the morale, in terms of what this team needs to kind of get through the rest of the season, yeah, this was a game that if they lose, it would have been tough, but they get the win. Davante Adams heroics, Max Crosby heroics, and there they are. They have swept the Broncos at least.
Yeah, this team was at an inflection point. I mean, you know, the way that Derek Carr reacted to their loss last week, the comments that Davante Adams made, the tenor of the locker room, like it all seemed like it was headed towards a disaster, you know, moving forward with the rest of the season. And you know, as you said, I mean, the script from this game, it was really setting up like all their other close game losses. You know, I mean, they got in a hole, they built themselves back out of it. It was coming down to the wire late. The offense had the ball. They couldn't seem to figure it out. Like, it was kind of following that same, you know, sort of path that we've seen throughout the season. And then if they would have lost again in that same way, I feel like it just would have, like, the locker room probably would have imploded after that. But instead, they bounced back. They finally pull one out, you know, in a way that was very reminiscent of how they finished games last season. It was really the first time we've seen them look like that under this new regime. And, you know, as you said, this isn't a season changing win. You know, they're still 3-7 and probably not going to make the playoffs, but this is something that, you know, when they talk about building sustainability and stacking on the progress that they make, this kind of wins that you need to keep the group together as you build towards that, even if you don't end up, you know, making it to your ultimate goal.
Yeah, I mean, the Broncos got out to a 10-0 lead, and you can tell their fans are getting pretty excited about, okay, this actually could be a good day. Raiders may, you know, may fold, but you know, their star players and their leaders stepped up. I mean, Max Crosby's had, two sacks, a forced fumble on a blocked field goal. Davante Adams, 140 yards, receiving, two touchdowns. Josh Jacobs ran the ball really well all day long. Derek Carr made the throws late. He had to make. So their leaders stepped up. Their star players stepped up and made plays. And that, like Deshaun said, the mood after the game was, it was fun to see. Their players were very excited. They were, you know, you saw on TV dancing in the tunnel, in the locker room there. Just everyone was like, you know, giggling and smiling, hugging. Just a nice change for them after a really miserable last 3 weeks. So I think a win is great, and they got a win. So let's see what they can do from they can build on this next week.
Yeah, I mean, and it was two drives that they absolutely needed, and they got big plays in those big moments. I mean, obviously the story on the Denver side is going to be what the hell are you doing on that third down? I mean, there's one thing that can't happen if you're the Broncos. I mean, like, Russell Wilson should just fall, crumple to the ground, take a sack, and blow those 40 seconds off the clock. But that's for Broncos fans to worry about. The Raiders took advantage, and they had to, and to a degree, there was some disappointment, I think, at the end of the game that they didn't get the touchdown, that they didn't win in regulation. We saw that big pass play out of the backfield to Josh Jacobs that he nearly got in. And so it was, you know, we don't know if we'll need to see them stack this together to see if they figured anything out. But to be late in games and be able to come up with several chunk plays like that, you know, you get the big play to Jacobs, and then in overtime, two plays, big one to Morrow, and then the touchdown to Adams. We know this offense, we know this team has like star players. I mean, like, you know, Josh Jacobs, Devontae Adams, Max Crosby are going to be, no doubt about it, on the first, you know, on the initial Pro Bowl team. Those guys are their stars, and it was nice to see them kind of take advantage of that.
Yeah, and it was, you know, I mean, early on in the game, they had some of those weird play calling tendencies again, you know, whether it was their run pass decision making, going away from what was working, not targeting their best players. It was sort of, like, Josh McDaniels didn't have the greatest start to this game, but it seemed like down the stretch, you kind of figured out, hey, Josh Jacobs and Devontae Adams are pretty good. Maybe we should just feed them the ball. And so, you know, I mean, they've been moving the ball all game, and then really they've moved the ball pretty well this season. This has been about finishing drives, and, you know, obviously down the stretch in this one, they were able to pull that off. You know, Devontae Adams, you know, on the game winning touchdown. I mean, he was as wide open as you could possibly be, but you had to credit, you know, the way that they were schemed up on that play. I think Vic pointed it out, you know, Mac Hollins broke in and that suckered the defense, and they bit and forgot about Devontae Adams for some reason, but he broke out. And that's, you know, obviously he's a great player, but, like, I mean, that's, you know, great play design, the scheme of being wide open, and Derek Carr put it on the money, and that was it. And so you kind of just saw it all coalesce for one of the first times that we've seen it this season on offense.
When we went to overtime, I really thought that the Hackett had jinxed us. I thought that, you know, he said that somebody had to win this game. I was like, man, it's going to end in a freaking tie. Because both these teams are not very good. And obviously, they both had moments they could have pulled away and didn't. But, you know, like you said, the Raiders made the plays in the end, and the Broncos made some pretty big mistakes. So it's a win. The Broncos are in last place. The Raiders, hopefully they think they have some momentum now, and they actually can feel good about themselves with their work habits and all the practice talk and the coaching staff and yada, yada, yada. So they got to feel like they can actually do some good things the rest of the way. And again, they got to feel, like we said, they got to follow on their leaders. I mean, those guys got to make plays, and today they did. Now, so it was a really nice win for a team that really needed one really badly.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about kind of the lead up to this game was, how does this team react? I mean, do they have a fight in them? Do they respond to a week that, you know, their coach was kind of a punching bag out there, and, you know, the owner came out and supported him? And I mean, I there's no major takeaway that you can say, like, all right, yeah, they rallied behind him. They grinded out a win against a good defense. You know, obviously Denver's a very good defense, but there's been two games now where the Raiders have played pretty well against that Denver defense. You know, they had, you know, over 30 points last game. They, you know, and they were able to move the ball well here. You know, Josh Jacobs goes over 100 yards. Derek, with the big plays in overtime, gets over 300 yards passing. And, you know, the first touchdown he had to Devontae Adams, they tried to double cover him. And, like, you know, Devontae, I think, said that maybe last week or the week before, is like, hey, you know, it shouldn't matter if I'm double covered, like, you know, throw me the ball. And that's proof of that. I mean, it doesn't matter if Devontae Adams is double covered, you get him the ball and he can beat double coverage for, I mean, and that was a fairly easy touchdown even in double coverage.
Yeah. And he was matched up with Pat Surtain, who might be the best cornerback in the league. And, you know, and so, I mean, even when he's matched up against the best, you know, against a defense that's statistically coming into today, you could argue was the best defense in the league. Like, he's too good of a player for you to go away from him just because he might not be wide open, which I know he's wide open to win the game tonight. But, like, there's going to be situations where I won't say force it, but you're going to have to throw into some tight windows. You're going to have to scheme up some better plays to kind of manufacture some separation like they did on that last play. And so, I mean, we're not saying it's easy by any means, but when you have a player of that caliber and you give up the resources they did to go get him and you give him the big contract, you got to figure that out. You can't just give up on it and just go away from him. And especially when you're without Darren Waller, you're without Hunter Renfro, and we'll see when and if they're able to come back. But it's really the only option. I mean, feed Josh Jacobs, feed Devontae Adams. And obviously they need the offensive line to hold up. And not to hurt themselves with penalties, but that needs to be the game plan every single week, because I mean, what else are they going to do?
And I've been hard on McDaniels, and I'm sure I probably will be in the future, but I have to give them props today because, you know, they didn't have Colton Miller, and their old line's already not very good, and without their best guy, it's definitely a tough task. We did a nice job of moving protections around, kind of scheming around it, and they weren't hurt too badly with that loss. So that's a tip of the cap to him. They did a nice job offensively, even despite that loss, and yeah, made the plays in the end. And you know, I mean, in a locker room, you can tell that the players still have confidence in his message and his scheme and what he's trying to do, and they still have confidence in Derek Carr. I know people thought he cried last week. He pointed out some players' efforts, but I think they understand that was, you know, just frustration from a guy who, like one player said, he definitely is here, you know, 24/7. He's putting his heart into it, so you can't really question him if he calls somebody out, because he's done whatever he can to do to get this team to win. So I think, yeah, he's been clutch in the past. He was clutch tonight. So I think players are really happy for him as well as for themselves.
You know, I think one player we got to give a lot of credit to is Foster Moreau. I mean, he was involved a lot in the pass blocking because he kind of had to be. You know, without Colton Miller, you were going to need that extra, you know, tight end helping to block. And so, you know, I know there was like a lot of chatter, you know, before this last year of his rookie contract, and, you know, Darren Waller said before the season, yeah, you know, it's too bad that he's going to be gone next year because he's a starter in this league. And, you know, we've kind of expected with Waller out that he would have a big role in the offense, and he hasn't. It's, you know, we saw that last season when we kind of thought that maybe he would take a big step up, you know, catching the ball, and really hasn't. But despite really being a blocker for most of the game, first play of overtime, boom, what, 33 yard reception, nice catch and run that really set them up. And, you know, the next play they walk it off. And I know Devontae Adams, you know, made certain to recognize after the game, like, a lot of people are going to talk about my touchdown, but that doesn't happen without Foster making that play before.
Yeah, it was a nice play action play. I think the play before that, Josh Jacobs had a nice big run, but he sold it well. He sold it as another like play action play, and you could tell he was kind of blocking in, and he kind of cut out and made a nice catch and got some extra yards. So, yeah, it doesn't matter how many balls you catch. It matters when you catch them and how big they are as far as the impact of the game.
Yeah, and obviously, you know, we're focused on the catches, but he also, I would say he's, especially last year, he struggled as a blocker, and he's taken a pretty clear step forward this year and bounced back, and both as a run blocker and a pass blocker. And we combine that what he does in the passing game. I mean, you know, he just made a huge impact for them, especially without Waller out there. And, you know, he has Carr's trust, you know, clearly. I know he was kind of, you know, had some moments today where maybe, you know, he wasn't on the same page with his pass catchers, and they had some errant drives, but they kind of just kept the pace overall on offense, and then, you know, ultimately figured it out against, you know, one of the best defenses in the league.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America N.A., member FDIC.
Let's talk Max Crosby. I mean, there was that moment on that, you know, that last drive of the first half where, you know, he gets that late hit call on Russell Wilson. And, you know, it was a tough one of those where, like, you know, Wilson gave himself up and he was running full speed. And I think it probably is one of those where he would have had an opportunity to maybe like jump over him or kind of sideswipe it. But there was I forget who it was, but there was another Raiders player on the other side of him. So like he was kind of in a tough spot where he couldn't really do a whole lot to get out of the way. And, but I mean, you know, you get it, you know, that flag is going to be called. But it seemed like after that, there was like he was on a mission to like make up for that penalty, because, you know, it looked like the Broncos were going to score a touchdown there and take a lot of momentum going into halftime. Melvin Gordon, who does what he does, that's what he does. He fumbles a lot. And you know, he had gotten that one run down to the 1 yard line, and Crosby's able to pop it up. Broncos recover it, but they have to settle for a field goal. And then who takes matters in their own hands on the field goal? He blocks the field goal. I mean, if for a guy to be one of the best pass rushers in the league and then out there blocking field goals, I mean, there's nothing that Max Crosby can't do right now.
Yeah. And something that he said happened earlier this week, in one of their film sessions, before practice, was Daron Harmon, you know, he sort of called out the defense for their lack of energy, and not just, in terms of plays on the field. Like we saw last week, like Matt Ryan running for 40 yards, it didn't look super eager to tackle him. But also when they did have plays, you know, you didn't see the level of excitement and support, you know, both on the guys on the field and guys on the sideline in response to that. And he sort of challenged the room to show more energy. And Max said that after that play where he got called for that flag on Russell Wilson, he turned to Deron and told him, "I got you." And so he went out there and made a couple of huge plays. And I know people kind of debate, you know, whether momentum is a real thing or not, but that clearly changed the tide of the game. Like everything shifted after that. Cause not only, you know, did they prevent points in that moment, but the Broncos, you know, said to get the ball to start the third quarter. And so if they would have scored there, they get the ball again, go down, score again. And then we're looking at a game that's getting out of hand a little bit. Instead, he comes out in the second half, gets a sack on the first drive. A couple of drives later, gets another sack. We see the pass rush as a whole get going. Chandler Jones almost came up with a sack, but he forced into Tyler Hall, you know, a guy that people probably didn't know who that was. He gets a sack. And so the defense just went on his run where they – because, I mean, the Broncos, they didn't score a bunch of points in the first half, but they were moving the ball, like, really easily. And in the second half, they pretty much couldn't do anything. And, you know, you got to look to Max Crosby. You know, he not only sparked it with that run at the end of the first half, but he also carried it on and kind of kept them going with those sacks and his performance in the second half.
Yeah, I mean, I think, yeah, and Crosby and Adams, they have two of the top 25 guys in the league. So I just think that's why maybe even more frustrating they had, you know, got to a bad start this year, because you're kind of wasting these two guys, you know, in the prime of their careers, and they're both just – not only are they great players and they have all the skill sets and the work ethic, and they, you know, they don't stop. They're both relentless. They both have, I mean, talking to Keelan Cole today about Adams, he's never, his will is just like, it's so great that he thinks he'll catch the ball whenever it's thrown. And at what point, he's in a kind of infectious thing for teammates. So I think both those guys are just great guys to have in your team. That's why they shouldn't be 3-7. But again, they should, we'll see if they can build on this going down the rest of the stretch.
You know, the other kind of hidden thing about, you know, the forced fumble against Melvin Gordon is, you know, Gordon is small sample size, but had run the ball fairly well. He, up until that carry, was 5.2 yards per carry in the first half. It was only on five carries. But once you give up the ball around the goal line, they're going to be very hesitant to go back to you. He only had three carries in the second half. And God bless Latavius Murray that he's still out there playing in the NFL and had a touchdown today. But 17 carries, 49 yards, 2.9 yards per carry. He wasn't going to be gashing them. And I think the fact that they got Gordon off the field and kind of really took a weapon away from the Broncos because of that fumble, that's kind of one of those hidden things that you can see happen.
Yeah, and the defense, it was really all around performance for them. You know, I mean, once the pass rush got going, this secondary, which was struggling in the first half, they start to play well and come into form. And, you know, Russell Wilson and the Broncos offense have a lot to do to that, but they were also playing well, guys. Like I said, we saw Tyler Hall out there, Isaiah Pelham out there. Like, you know, I mean, Sam Webb was still playing. Like, these aren't household names that they had in the back end, and they played pretty well. And then, as you said, I know their run defense has been a strength all season, but it still speaks to something for them to step up and limit them to, I think, 3.6 yards per carry in this one. And so it's really all around effort, and really the first time they've shown the ability to do that against anybody this season. Like, I know this isn't a good offense, but like, the Colts looked amazing against them last week, and they don't have good offense either. And so, as we said, and we've said, you know, the last couple of weeks, is this defense isn't going to be good. Like, they don't have the talent to be a good defense. It's just not going to happen, whatever coaching you're doing. But the thing you have to see is progress. There's no way to excuse not having some semblance of progress, and they just hadn't shown it to this point. And today was the first mark of that. And so we'll see if they're able to carry that forward and build on it, but at least it's a sign that it's possible.
I was going to add, I'm still surprised by Russell Wilson. He's just not very good. I mean, I know he's...
and this was like his best game of the season too. Like, this probably his best game of the year.
That's right. Which is, yeah, I can't believe that's true. But just like in terms of his like reactions and his, you know, pocket presence and the, just it's just weird. And like, he was so good just a few years ago, and now he's like and plus, you know, we talk about the decision making, that not taking the sack there, and just it kind of cost him the game. But again, Raider fans are happy, I'm sure, and it's good for the Raiders. But it's a good thing he's there, because they got two wins over the Broncos, and that's a large part due to him. But yeah, it's just weird. It's hard to watch and kind of fathom what happened to him.
Raiders do kind of need to hope that the Broncos win enough games down the stretch, though, to keep Nathaniel Hackett around.
Because there's no chance.
I mean, this. I have you ever seen a guy more overmatched taking over as a head coach? I mean, it's just bad.
Yeah, because I mean, it's because you shouldn't. that shouldn't even have been on the table. Hand the fucking ball. Like, what are you doing? Like, don't even open up his way. If you have a botched snap or like he gets hit and fumbles, or like there's so many things that can go wrong on a pass play. Not to say that they can't fumble on a run play, obviously, but like just hand it off. Take a knee even. Damn, you don't even gotta like do anything. Like, just make
not
sure.
Not Hackett's fault, man. He gave up play calling duties.
Yeah, I mean, this guy is, he has to be like the worst coach in the league. Like, he gave up. He hired his guy, you know, his mans that had no experience to come in and help him with game management decisions. He let Gary Kubiak's son, who I can't remember his first name, he called plays. What is he doing on the sideline? Like, how can you still continue to be this terrible in game management situations when that's really all you have to do in his role that he's doing right now as a head coach? Like, he is terrible. Like, for as much as Raiders fans complain about having Josh McDaniels, clearly it could have been much worse, because holy shit. God damn, like, Nathaniel Hackett stinks. He's terrible.
What time is it right now? Are we sure he's going to survive the night? I'm not sure he's going to survive the night. I mean, we'll see. But yeah.
You know, the other thing that's so weird is, like, how do you feel if you're Justin Outen? He's the Broncos' offensive coordinator. So, like, you actually have coordinator. They have an offensive coordinator on their team, and he gave up play calling duty. Hackett gives up play calling duties and didn't even give it to the offensive coordinator. He gave it to the quarterback's coach.
I doubt that's his call, though. I'm not sure he's making those calls. I think someone's like, okay, you're giving it up, and they gave it to that guy. I'm not sure. I don't think he's like, well, I'm going to give it up. I'm going to pick him. Like, you know, you have no input. We don't want you just we're going to tell you what to do. But it is pretty amazing how it's a bad loss for the Broncos, for sure.
They're just lucky they've got a rich ass new owner who was not a part of hiring him and is not going to care about paying out the money to get rid of him. But enough Broncos talk. You know, one guy I did want to mention that was a welcome return to the lineup defensively with Denzel Perryman. We saw he had some nice plays. He had that one where he just came and just absolutely leveled Melvin Gordon in the backfield. And we know that he's a guy that is not a complete linebacker. He's going to have some issues in coverage, but having a middle linebacker that can go in there and can thump in the running game is still important.
Yeah, both Carr and Adams talked about the importance of like having fun this week. That we're trying to always message like, let's relax, not get too caught up in the pressure and big moments, just play football and have a good time. And Perryman's one of those guys who infects your smile, always in a good mood, plays the game really hard. And I'm sure he's a big part of that. It'd be hard to not have fun with him, on your team on defense. So I think it's definitely a nice return for him and a welcome return for the rest of the squad.
Yeah, and kind of looping back to, what Harmon called them out for. I mean, it doesn't get too much more energetic than Denzel Perryman. I mean, between his personality and all the antics and how much fire he plays with and the hits that he makes, he's one of those guys that drives them. And in combination with Crosby and everybody else on the defense, they really stepped up today. And we have to see if they're able to sustain this moving forward. But I think at this point, with the season, we have to the focus has to shift a little bit, right? It becomes like establishing building blocks and symbols of hope for the team moving forward and things they can kind of grow from here. Because clearly the season isn't going to go the way that they want it to. Like, theoretically, they could go on some crazy one and win out and make the playoffs or whatever. But regardless of that, you want to see some bright spots, more bright spots emerge on both sides of the ball. And this game showed that, they can do some of that.
Now, so they have to show some offensive momentum. I mean, they have to show. I mean, if they're gonna bring it back with McDaniels and Carr, which I'm not sure that's gonna happen or not, but the case would be, okay, we got better these last eight games, and this last the last two drives tonight, definitely a good start. But they have to show they can score points and be more consistent offensively. And those two guys, actually click in terms of the scheme and what they want to do, and it could happen. I mean, so again, that's like a key thing for me the rest of the way is just this offense has to be close to what it was supposed to be before the year started.
And obviously, you hope you're going to see some games down the stretch in December where you finally get Darren Waller, Hunter Renfrow, Devontae Adams, Josh Jacobs, all on the field together.
I think I'm sure there's some Raider fans who, they all want to beat the Broncos. I'm sure they're all happy, but I'm sure there are some who are in the back of their minds like, man, here we go again. We're going to win like four games on the stretch. We're going to finish like 7-10 or whatever, and we're going to get we're going to blow our draft pick status. We're going to bring back Carr. I'm sure some of the fans are not as thrilled with tonight's win as others are.
I'm sure there's people that would rather them have lost this game. I'm fairly sure, just so they can continue to get better draft positioning to go for a quarterback or top defensive player, whatever they want to do, but which is still possible. Like, don't rule it out. Don't get too, don't get too upset at the win. If you're one of those people, like, it's still on the table. Don't lose hope for the losses to continue to pile up moving from here. But
right.
Obviously the guys on the field and the coaching staff and sports, they aren't, this isn't a tank job. I know there's a lot of jokes. I see all the memes on Twitter, all the tank gifts and all that in my mentions.
The Raiders logo on the tank.
They're still trying, guys. They're going to try to win.
And they've got the perfect scenario now. Hendon Hooker, torn ACL. That hurts his draft status. Vic, that's your guy. you want Hooker at Vegas. Now you can slide down into the teens or whatever, and you can be able to draft him, knowing that his rookie year might be.
So you're saying they were tanking, and in the third quarter they got the update that he's towards ACL. Like, wait, no reason to tank. I got you. That makes sense. All right.
I mean, imagine the number of jerseys Hooker of the Raiders in Vegas. Man,
it's tough because these draft guys always are down. The guys are older. I think he's 25. Now this won't help him, but man, he's really, really good. I like his toughness. I like how he runs. I think he's the real deal. But yeah, Hooker jerseys would be huge in Vegas for sure.
Hey guys, they just won. We're not talking about the draft. Come on.
No draft talk.
No draft.
We're talking about how they're not tanking. We're like, they don't care.
The tank is over.
Yeah.
It's all attention head.
The 15th pick is fine. The 15th pick is good now. We're only a top five pick.
Man, speaking of, you guys mentioned Daron Harmon earlier. Man, I've never seen a guy get carted off the field and then come back. But it's once we heard that it was because of cramps, I'm like, that's actually genius. Like, if I got to go get an IV, yeah. Like, because if you guys saw the replay, like, it was like barely anything happened. He just kind of went over there and kind of crumpled down, and like that didn't look like anything went wrong. But like, that's genius. If you need an IV, yeah, get the cart out here and get me back, race me out in there. Let me get my IV and let me race back out.
He said he cramped in both his legs. He said he was trying to move and he just couldn't. And he said he has an 11-year-old son that texted him asking him, "How'd you get carted off of cramps?" So I mean, it wasn't his brightest moment, but he came back. He came back.
At least it was cramps and not a Paul Pierce situation.
Yeah, he's a fun guy.
DK Metcalf get taken off to get his shit in.
He's a fun guy. Definitely one of the clear leaders on this team. And you could tell, like, when he came back on the field after he got carted off, he kind of walked defiantly back on the field, and the players cheered. They were dancing and stuff. It was kind of a cool moment because his status for a first year guy on this team, it was like immediately very high when he walked in. Like 2 weeks in, like, players all realized he's the real deal.
All right, guys. Well, Raiders needed this one. I mean, it's because they like you said, they wanted to get back to having a little fun. And I mean, you know, it's win against the Broncos. You always love to beat your rival. They're 2-0 against Broncos. What, 6 in a row they've won now against Denver. So, you like to kind of maintain those advantages.
Saw me, baby. Know. Since I've been on the beat, they've never lost to the
never
Broncos.
Seen them. Yeah, never seen the Broncos. Yeah,
there you go.
Congratulations. Sean.
I mean, it was you and that Drew Lock magic. How many different quarterbacks have you seen? You've seen Drew Lock, Teddy Bridgewater, Russell Wilson. Is that it? Was there ever?
I mean, three in 3 years is a lot. No, I wasn't here for Paxton Lynch. Yeah, I don't think I would have made it through those games.
He was special.
Brock Osweiler was.
Brock Osweiler. See, Raider fans are mad about their bad moves. Just look at the Broncos. They've made worse moves. So there you go.
And they have a worse coach, we think. I mean,
Raiders are firmly not the worst team in the division.
No doubt about it.
There you go. Biggest takeaway from the day.
And Russell Wilson is signed up for 5 more years after this. Nah, there's no way. The Broncos are stuck.
They're not stuck. There's no way. They're going to pull that plug.
They can't. They literally cannot.
There's no way.
If they plug it, I mean, if they pull it before 2024, they literally would not be able to build it
before 2024. There's no way he is the quarterback in 2024. As I was saying, 2 years from now?
Let me look it up. This is some mid-production shit, but I'm pretty sure it would be like if they cut him after the 2023 season, his dead cap after the 2024 season, it would be $85 million.
I got two words for you. Kickstarter.
If they did it before next season,
yeah,
$107 million. That does not happen. There's no way.
That's literally half the salary cap. That's like half the salary cap.
They cannot build a roster. So they are stuck. Like, Raiders fans, congratulations. Russell Wilson will be a Denver Bronco for at least two more seasons after this one, because there's no way in hell they can do that. It's not possible.
It's possible. There's no way he's there.
Who's going to trade for him?
Two more years. I don't know, but there's no way he's here for two more years. It's not possible.
You'll force him to retire? Going to give him some Walmart stock to retire? I don't know what they're going to do.
If there's a will, there's a way.
Get a Tom Brady deal. Give him like an ownership stake to get him out of there. He's dark for them boys.
Man, he's cooked. He's cooked. That's your phrase. That's Deshaun's phrase. I'm using his phrase. He's cooked.
I mean, you were the first one on it. Like, you were not big on the Russell Wilson move for the Broncos. You said he wasn't cooked, but you said he was lightly flambéed, and now he's he is definitely cooked. But
he's burnt to a crisp.
All right. Well, enough Broncos talk. Raiders get a big win that they needed. We're going to come to you later this week with a live room on Wednesday, day before Thanksgiving. We'll have to figure out a time, but if you guys have a preferred time, let us know. We'll see what we can do to accommodate. And
wow, look at us.
Get a good chance to talk with folks. I know you guys were asking for it last week, so we'll have a little pre-Thanksgiving fun time with you guys. So should be good.
It's going to be beautiful, man. Beautiful.
Get ready for the Seahawks. Get to say hi to Drew Locke. Maybe get a little cameo from him next week, Deshaun.
Yeah. No. No.
Our old friend Gabe Jackson.
Huh? All right, guys. We will talk to you later this week.
Adios. Adios.